This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We do have one line open. And we will do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. So let's get right to your calls. You're nice enough to join us on this lovely Saturday morning. Let's go to Jeff in Rocky Hill. Hey, Jeff.
How you doing?
Doing fine. How are you?
Pretty good. I have a question about, you were talking about laser and inkjet printers last week?
We might have been. It was a recorded program, so
Okay.
I don't know exactly what I was saying.
Yeah. Well, I'm wondering about the cost effective of laser as opposed to inkjet copiers.
Generally, laser is going to be less expensive per page, generally.
If you buy black and white, you'll save money. If you buy color, maybe not.
Yeah, but even color is saving.
But it's better quality.
That's true.
Which one is better quality?
Laser.
Laser? Laser?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I just want to, like I said, I just want to buy a regular copier.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of missed the last part of your conversation last week.
Yeah, inkjet would be crazy in a copier, as far as I'm concerned, if you're going to do a lot of copies.
Okay, so I'll go with laser.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome, Jeff.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Well, that was quick.
Well, somebody might like to take a lot of trips to the Staples and buy ink.
Fill your ink wells. Let's go to Mike in Windsor Locks next. Hey, Mike, what's up?
Hey, guys. Love your show.
Thanks.
Listen to it as often as we can.
Great.
I have actually a couple of questions.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is regarding my internet service.
Mm-hmm.
I have internet through AT&T.
Okay.
And I get like 12 meg coming into my house. That's
okay.
My speed.
Yep.
And I try to run, you know, from watching Netflix, or if my daughter or my wife want to run a movie,
mm-hmm.
it seems to knock the Netflix out.
Yeah, 12 megs is a little thin.
So it is that's the issue.
Yeah,
think?
It is probably. So, what are you paying for? Is your 12 megs what you're paying for?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think you
but
should.
But I
have...
can't get any more. They keep telling me that they're going to do something about it, but they can't give me more.
Okay.
Well, I think they're running some sort of version of DSL. And what I would do before I made any judgments about it is run a speed test. Because
okay.
at 12 megs, I would contend that it really shouldn't be buffering. It should be enough.
You think so?
Yeah, I okay. think so. I think 12 megs is enough.
All right.
But
maybe just barely enough.
Right.
So to,
but the point is...
Two movies at the same time, or to stream two different computers at the same time?
No, if you're doing two at the same time,
that
I don't think
trouble.
You're going to have enough.
Yeah, that's not enough. And make sure they're not high def.
Even sometimes when we're watching a Netflix show, and we'll the one show will end, we'll want to watch another one,
mm-hmm.
it does the same thing. It just cuts out right during the, you know, in the middle of the show.
Yeah, that's a bandwidth issue. But like Bob said, do a speed test, see if you're even getting 12 megs.
Because I've found many times that people are not getting what they're paying for.
Right.
Okay.
That
and
would
then,
be the...
Is there any broadband near you, like Comcast or Cox or some other cables?
Yeah, Cox is who would service our area.
Okay.
So we'd have to check out with them after, if it doesn't...
Correct. Now, when you go to them, if you do go to them, which you probably will, because 12 megabits is not enough as far as I'm concerned, I think you need a good 50 to 60 megabits for an average family of five, especially if they're boys.
Yeah.
that's what I use for my rule of thumb. So when you go to Cox and they say, oh, we'll get you 100, 200 megs. No, you say, I want the cheapest rate for 50 megabits. And for you, it's going to be like night and day for you. That's what you want. And you want to watch out for those data caps, because that's where you're going to get really hit, is if people go over the terabyte cap that's going to be on your service, where they start charging you 10 bucks a gig after a terabyte.
Oh, okay.
But you're going to be fine, I think, with just the three.
How do I do a speed test?
I like to type in Xfinity speed test. You're going to do a Comcast speed test on your AT&T DSL.
Just Google speed test.
You could do that too.
Okay, just Google speed test.
Yeah, there's many ways to do a speed test. Hit the button, and it'll tell you how fast you're going. If you're paying for 12 and you're getting less, then the first thing you do is complain to them and make sure you're getting at least 12. And then maybe Bob's right. Maybe you can get away with 12.
Yeah, okay. And then one other thing. My student got a Chromebook from the school this year, and we want to install OpenDNS.
Yeah,
Is that something we have to put on the computer, or does it go on our... I mean, we have to put it on each of our computers in our home?
Not if you configure it for your firewall. If you have your own firewall in there, so if you have the modem from your AT&T folks, and then you bought your own firewall, if you buy your own firewall, you can do it there.
Oh, okay. Otherwise, we have to do it on the computer itself.
Correct. And it's going to be hard to do on the Chromebook. I'm not sure it's going to be... Well, no, you should be able to configure DNS on the Chromebook. You should be able to configure the DNS settings. I wouldn't know off the top of my head how to do it, but I'm pretty sure you can.
Yeah, well, we can probably figure that part. If not, I'll call you back next week.
That's what we're here for, Mike.
Yeah, we appreciate you guys. Thanks a lot.
Our pleasure. All right, bye-bye. So, yeah, Bob thinks 12. I'm thinking 50 megabits is all you need. And, again, no data caps. And speaking of the internet, Bob was talking about 5G coming. We're all excited for 5G. Verizon's talking about their service being 300 megabit speeds, typical speeds, 300 megabits, massively more than any of us need, which is great. Up to a gigabit in speed. Again, massively more than anybody needs. But the key here is no data caps, right? So if you're going to pay about 50 to 70 bucks a month with no data caps, all of a sudden you're going to see some competition in broadband, right? And you'll be able to cut the cable instantly. You won't need cable TV anymore. And it comes down to data caps. If they charge you for the data, then you're going to find yourself upset. But the more competitors we have in there, they're all going to fight for our services, or fight for us as customers, so that we can actually then compete. If net neutrality came in, they wouldn't have any reason to fight for us. They'd all have to be equally miserable, equally neutral, equally equal. Let's go on to Mark in Hartford next. Hey, Mark, what's up?
Actually, it's Northford, sorry.
It's Northford?
Northford, yeah.
Oh, okay. Northford, Connecticut, or Northford something else?
Yeah, Northford, Connecticut. It's part of North Brantford, actually.
Okay, sure. What's up?
Yeah, good show.
Thank you.
I have a couple of older HP laptops. They work fine, but they're sluggish, you know. When you click on it, you get a little buffering before you open Windows, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So every so often they get a little slower than normal, and I go in and clean them up.
Yep.
Clean out all the cookies and temp files and all that crap, and
yep,
they get better. But I noticed I'm using, Chrome for my browser,
mm-hmm,
or... Firefox, but I haven't been happy with those. So I got a little research, and I found I wanted to get off, reduce my presence, reduce,
mm-hmm,
my footprint.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to try this Epic privacy browser.
Okay.
And it seems like things are, not slowing down as much. At least they're not speeding up much. They're still very older computers, but
yeah.
And I don't know, what's your opinion on Epic? Have you heard of it?
I have not. I'm looking it up right now, just to see.
It's like one of the VPN Epic privacy browsers, I guess. It uses a VPN, I think.
Okay.
And I think it's really working better for me. Plus, it supposedly keeps you quite private. It keeps you your footprint very small and private.
Epic is a privacy-centric web browser. It was developed by Hidden Reflex, a software product company founded by Alok Bahadwaj, based in Washington, D.C. and Bangalore, India, from Chromium source code.
Hmm.
Epic is always in private browsing mode. Exiting the browser causes all browsing data to be deleted. Even during browsing, as little as possible is stored. Epic removed all Google tracking and blocks and other companies tracking users.
Hmm.
So it's it might be a good browser.
Thing. Yeah.
And it's working. I mean, I can go and search anything. And I've also been trying to use, I don't use Google as a search engine. I use Bing sometimes or Start Page, which is part of Google, but mm-hmm. it's supposed to be also, Start Page is supposed to be more private, but it's from Google, so I don't trust them. I don't trust Google anymore, so I know I still have to use them sometimes. They pop up on their own, no matter where I go. Google is popping up somehow, somewhere.
Yeah.
Especially on the phone.
Well, yeah. Because actually, MasterCard and the credit card companies are actually reporting back to Google and cutting them a piece of the action after you buy something that you saw on the internet.
Yeah, you can't avoid them 100%.
But. No. But hey, you know what? I will put a link here from Computer World. They did a review on the Epic browser.
Oh, yeah?
Yep. We'll put a link up there for you and take a look at it. Never used it myself. But if you want to have a little more privacy and don't let the Googleplex necessarily know where you're going, that's fine. I take all this stuff with a grain of salt because, really, who can you trust?
I know. That's why I was asking about it, if you had any opinion. But I'll look at that link.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for me, as far as privacy on the internet, I just realize there isn't any.
Yeah.
There isn't any, period. You have an IP address right to your home. And you surf anything, I can guarantee you surf anything anywhere, your IP address says it's marked from North Branford doing it.
Yes.
So, period. And I would contend there's not a whole lot you can do about it. Even the VPN technology, the funny thing, a lot of those VPNs actually use local DNS to get you the website. So you're going ahead and trying to be secure, but your DNS records are showing that you're going these places. So you're not secure.
Betrayed by DNS.
Yep. Betrayed by your DNS because they're just the ding-a-lings use the local DNS rather than the
even if I have it set for open?
Correct. Yeah, I mean the DNS is still DNS, right? So they know where you're going.
Yeah, okay.
And then on the other end, the VPN, let's say they don't know where you're going. Your VPN is going to look at it as a tunnel. So you're going to land on this other page, right? Outside in somebody's system, they know you're going. So if somebody wants to find out where Mark from Branford's going, they're going to go and say, well, we're going to go ahead and subpoena the VPN on the other end.
Yeah.
So the only way to be off and be secure is really to just be, in a van in the woods.
And down by the river.
Down by the river. I was going to go there, but I wasn't sure if you get the reference.
I got the reference. I used it all the time.
Do you? Okay. Then you're completely anonymous.
The only way to make your computer safe is to never take it out of the box.
Exactly.
Never turn it on.
Never turn it on. Yep.
Keep your finger off the button.
Yep. So. All right, Mark. But we'll put it up here. You let people know, and maybe they're interested, and maybe it'll help for folks. Who knows?
Yeah, it seems to help me with, they're not so sluggish when I keep using it. I don't do a lot of computer browsing, but, I do enough.
Sounds good.
Thanks.
Hey, thanks, Mark.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, we're going to step out for a quick break, get back to more of your calls. We got three lines open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back.
Now let's get started by letting me give you a little bit of a scenario of what my life is all about. First off, I am 35 years old, I am divorced, and I live in a van down by the river.
There we go. That's the way to be perfectly private, according to Chris Farley. You want privacy? That's where you want to live. All right, let's go on. Or you can live, The Onion always has a story about being private. We can always play that. That's pretty funny. Or you're living in a box.
Or the Google Privacy Island or whatever it is.
The Google Privacy Box where they cover you in complete privacy. Let's go to your calls, though. We're going to go to Rich in Oxford next. Rich, what's going on?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Two questions for you. Mm-hmm. First, a little while back, all of a sudden I got a new drive showing up on my PC.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm running Windows 10.
Okay.
And apparently it tried to remove the drive letter, and it ultimately returns. And if you look to see what kind of space it was occupying, it claims that it has just about 500 meg of utilization, but yet opening up that drive, it's empty.
Yeah.
I can't seem to get rid of it, and I don't see anything on the web that seems to indicate what's going on with that. So that's the first question.
Okay, so that's another error with Microsoft. When they do updates often, they use this little temporary drive, which they're supposed to then hide again, and they didn't rehide it on you. So you're going to get warnings, too, talking about that the drive is near full, right?
Right, correct.
Very annoying. So the boys and girls at Microsoft didn't clean up after themselves. So we've put links on our site, and we'll find it again, as to where you have to rehide that drive so that your system doesn't see it again, because Microsoft.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, they should have done it for you.
Yeah, and as far as it being empty goes, it's not empty. It's
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's got your system recovery data in it, and the files are just hidden.
Yeah, okay. So we'll put a link up there for you on that issue. We get that call every couple of months.
Great. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that.
Yep.
Second question, maybe a little bit more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I use Outlook primarily for my email system.
All right.
And I'd like to see if I could make sure that I have no email tracking going on. In other words, from third parties or anyone else out there.
Well,
I understand that there's an embedded pixel image sometimes and so forth, but
yeah,
that's about all I know. Is there an app? Some issue I can.
Where's your mailbox, Rich?
Help me out. What you mean by that question?
Who hosts
by the road? I'm sure.
Who hosts your mail? Is it hosted by Yahoo? Is it hosted by your internet provider? Who hosts your mail?
Well, I actually, on my Outlook, I have three different mail systems. I have one through Gmail on Outlook, and then I have one through Yahoo, and then I have another one through another third party for my business.
So hang on one sec, Rich. We're going to go to a hard break for the news, and then we'll get back to answer your question, okay?
Thank you.
You got it. We're going to answer Rich's question. We'll be right back. This is Computer Talk. And we're back. We're going to be here until about 11 o'clock. This is Computer Talk with Tab. And we were on with Rich out there in Oxford, and he's talking about his mail. You there, Rich?
Yes, sir.
All right. So you're worried about being tracked on your mail, and you have two cloud-based accounts. One's Gmail and one's Yahoo.
Correct.
I can guarantee you they're reading your mail. So track or no track. The reason they're free is because you're the commodity. They want to know what Rich is interested in. They say they're not going to, but we've already heard back and forth that they've done it in the past and probably will still continue to do it, as far as I'm concerned. Can't trust them as far as you can throw them.
Right, exactly. And they live all in vans.
Say that again?
And they all live in vans.
They all live in vans down by the river. I don't know about those guys. They live in Maseratis down by the river.
Yeah, maybe so.
And then you, you said you had one other mailbox that you have that's a company mailbox?
Correct.
All right. Now, are you the owner of the company?
I am.
Okay. So if you have like an Exchange server or something like that, then you would be able to control the privacy of your mail, because the mail is your own, unless you're using a third party to host it. So if a third party is hosting that mail, technically they have access to it as well.
Right. Yeah, agreed. And then third party would be hosting it. I don't host it specifically myself, but I own the company.
Okay. You own the company that hosts the mail? No, I'm just kidding. You don't own it.
No.
So that third party technically has access to your mail. Because they can set up a new account for you as an administrator, and anybody with administrator credentials can read all the mail. So tracking you with pixels and marketing and all that fun stuff is done by marketing companies, and adding pixels to mail is very easy to do for tracking as far as your interest in a product or what have you. But your biggest problems are basically where your mail is sitting.
Right. Well, what I want to do is see if, at least make an attempt at these marketing companies are not tracking me if I can.
I don't think you can, unless you deem them spam.
If you host your own, you can encrypt your mail. Goes back and forth, and that will protect you.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And I can do that through my third party hosting company. Correct.
Most likely, you can add encryption. Depending on their services, if they're not sophisticated enough to add encryption, then you'd have to call a company like us to help you do it. There's also a company out there called Proton Mail, which I've heard Clark Howard talk about it. I've talked about it before. It's free. It's a free mail that's encrypted. And it was developed by CERN and MIT scientists, and it's open source and protected by Swiss privacy laws. You know how the Swiss dealt with the banks, so.
Right. Now, can I run it through Outlook?
Yeah, Outlook doesn't care what mailbox you use. That's why when you said Outlook, it didn't really matter to me. It really matters where your mail is hosted, right? Because that's where people are reading it. And that's where whether or not it's backed up or not, and you know, is where you're hosting it, because that's.
Well, is it not that when if I have a link within one of my emails, if I click on that link, does that not send a record back to whoever the sender was, that marketing company or something?
Yeah. Yeah, because
in fact, I clicked on it.
You're acting on it. Yeah, you're acting on something within the message that says, "Hey, you know, Rich
right.
is interested." If you don't click on the link, you haven't said anything.
Agreed. Now, can I prevent that click from going back to the marketing company?
Generally, no. If you're acting on the link, the point of it, like when I send a proposal to any of my customers, it's a link based proposal, right? So I know when they've read it or not, which is good for me and the customer. They wanted the proposal, so I get to know when they read it. So that I can be like, oh, okay, so if they've opened the proposal they asked for, and that's great. And that's the point of the technology.
Sure.
You know, if they didn't open the proposal.
That's also their solicited mail, however. Now, how about the spam mail that we get that has links in it that maybe I might be interested in, maybe not. But the point is that it sounds like there's just no way I can go about doing it.
Not really, unless you have, again, a sophisticated tool like we offer to our business clients where you can block spam and block links within that those messages from being seen. If they're legitimate, though, meaning from a legitimate company, they will be allowed to be presented to you. If they're illegitimate, our system will block it, so you won't have to be hit with anything. So,
and then there's that Proton Mail you mentioned also.
Yeah, take a look at Proton Mail if you want to have free encrypted mail. That might be a way to give you more security.
Okay. Very good. Thank you, gentlemen.
All right, Rich. Thank you.
Find it.
All right, you too. All right, bye-bye. But yeah, it's where your mail is hosted that you got to pay attention to. That's really the key. We're going to go to Charles in Hartford next. Hey, Charles, what's up?
Good morning. How are you?
Good, good. How are you, sir?
Not too bad. I have a slight problem. My computer was working well up until this morning. I got up to go on the internet, and it comes up with the message that EtherNet doesn't have a valid IP configuration.
Your intranet doesn't have a valid IP?
Yeah. I don't think it's hooked up through internet, though. Is it Ethernet?
Oh, Ethernet?
Ethernet, yeah.
Ethernet. Oh, okay, so you're not getting an IP address from your router. Do you have a router over there, Charles?
Yes.
I'd reboot it.
Okay.
And then, you know, first shut your computer down. Go ahead and go to start, shut down, shut it down. And then reboot your router. And it's going to it'll redo its DNS configurations and its DHCP configurations.
Okay,
and then
the button on the router that you...
Well, you would power it off. There should be a power button on your router where you can power it off. Or you can remove power from it by unplugging it. That's a way to power cycle it, as it were.
And not all routers have a power button.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine.
You power cycle it, turn it off, count to 10, turn it back on. It's going to reestablish a connection to the internet and all that. And then turn your computer on, and let's see if you get a connection. If you don't, you have another problem.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Charles.
And look for other lights on your router to see if you have any red lights or showing up.
Yeah, you want a nice clean, nice green link is what you want, not red.
Right.
All right, Charles?
Okay. I think looked at it. They're all white lights, solid white lights.
Okay.
That's probably okay, but... I'd still reboot it.
Yeah, reboot your router, turn off your machine, rebring it back up in the order I told you, and let's see what happens.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Charles.
All right.
All right, bye-bye. All right, that should get him back online. Let's go to Al and Avon. What's going on, Al?
Hi, I just got a couple quick, hopefully easy questions.
Uh-oh.
When you opened the show, you talked about apps running on your cell phone.
Yes, using up all your data.
Yeah, and I had lunch with a guy. I'm retired. Guy's retired. And I've got a new S9.
Okay.
He's got a new phone. And he hooked up with a Google News, I guess, and ran his bill way up.
Yep, that's the actual article I brought up.
Yeah. So my question is, I think Bob mentioned quickly, and I didn't catch it, is there a feature or a utility in this S9 that I have to tell me what's running in the background?
Most of them have it.
The reason I say that is I asked them when I picked it up, is there an instruction manual? And they said, yeah, go to YouTube and look around and figure it out. So that was the answer I got.
Yeah, so you want to look at data usage of your system, and you're going to look at your apps as well.
Is Is there anything like on my desktop where I can go to Task Manager and just zip through and see what processes are running and things of that nature? Is there anything like that?
On your Samsung? Well, yeah. I mean, again, you're going to go to what's – if you're running Android operating system, which is what you are running, there should be a settings button.
Okay.
And then you're going to want to go to, you know, network and internet. And then you're going to usually see app data usage. And then if you click on app data usage, you're going to see all these different apps. And if you click on each one, you'll see what they're using. Like in the case of Waze, I use Waze all the time every day. And so far my Waze has only used 81 megabytes. That's very little data. I like Waze, so I'm going to leave it running. Go ahead.
You mentioned Waze.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a new Honda, and I got a free update for all the maps in it with the GPS.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to the dealer, and you know what they said?
What?
They said, you know, I use Waze. It's better to go there and load that and use it. Don't bother with the 2-hour.
I completely agree with what they said. You should turn on your Android Auto, which should be part of your Honda if it's a new one.
Right.
And you would then run Waze on Android Auto, and you'll be one happy camper, I promise you.
Oh, okay. I'll have to check into that.
Yeah, but all cell phones have, most likely have, depending on if they're in collusion with the cell providers, a data saver option. So turn on your data saver, which means that'll by default reduce a lot of background activity. And then go into your settings for your mobile data and actually make sure you turn off background data on apps that you don't need an update in the background while you're driving on the highway, which is, I'll tell you, 99.9% of the apps that are out there, you don't need, you know, your tip calculator to be updating in the background.
Right. I don't need any of that, period.
Right.
Quite honestly.
Yeah, so you go under your apps and configurations and you look at your mobile network data and your data usage. It usually have a data usage tab. And so far, I'm halfway through the month, and I've only used 269 megabytes of data.
Wow. I mean, to me, date and time is an overkill, so.
Well, that's because you're retired. Every day is Saturday to
why
you.
Why bother me?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, don't rub it in, Al. We're still pulling the wagon.
You got it.
So, yeah, that's what you got to do, Al. You need to turn on your data saver, and then go to every app you have and turn off the background data if you don't care it's updating. Although Waze and things that you're going to want to use, don't turn that off because it's a good technology. And when you activate an app, it will then use data, right? If you're in a mobile area, it's going to use the data when you activate it. You know, rather than using it when you're not wanting it to. Like I said, jiggle the handle on your data.
I got you. So this phone I got is still in the box. I mean, I got it like a few days ago.
Yeah.
So by default, there's no apps loaded on it that are going to consume.
Oh, yes, there are.
Oh, there is. So, okay.
They all have deals with all sorts of app providers to give you junk that you may or may not
want.
Just
like preloaded junk on a desktop.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Same thing.
All right. Well, I'll have to go through it then.
All right, Al.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome, sir.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We're going to step out for a quick break. Tony, hang on. This is Computer Talk. We're here until 11 o'clock. We'll be right back. We are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we're going to be here until 11 o'clock. And we thank you guys for joining us on this rainy Saturday morning. And we'll get right to your calls. Feel free. We got a couple lines open here before the top of the hour, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. And then coming up at 11 o'clock, I think Dr. Alessi's in with Healthy Rounds, giving you a second opinion on your health advice. So stick around for that. Let's go to Tony in East Windsor next. Hey, Tony, what's up?
I have a question for you on email.
Yes, sir.
I bought a Dragon speaking thing from Amazon.
Okay.
And it won't work in my email, which is ATT and Yahoo. How difficult is it to change to a different email application?
Well, it's probably not working in your browser. You're using browser-based email, right, Tony? You're bringing up a browser, and then you're trying to dictate the email?
Yes.
It's probably not going to work so well there. You're going to have to use Outlook, most likely, for Dragon to work. Dragon's a very sophisticated dictation system, so I don't think it's going to connect properly to your browser. So, I could be wrong, but I think that's the issue. And if you look at the box, it might talk about compatibility of browsers with Dragon. Are you looking that up, Bob, right now?
No.
Yeah, I got some instructions.
All I got was a disk.
Oh, you only got a disk? Yeah. We're looking it up here a little bit to see if Dragon supports browser-based dictation, but I don't think it will.
It's saying that it does.
Does it? How old is your computer then, Tony?
It's only a couple of years.
A couple of years. Maybe you need to update the browser, or you have to use a specific browser. Like, it might work well with Internet Explorer.
I think it has to be set up.
Oh. Bob's already on it. We're getting close.
It says, log into your webmail application, compose a new email, do one of the following. Click. Say, click compose or click new, depending on the button name. And a new email appears, and then it tells you to dictate the message.
So it does work, Tony. So it's more of a training thing for you.
All right.
And it can be difficult.
Find out. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Tony.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, dictation systems do require training. They require dealing with your own voice, too.
So it says it works with most webmail applications like Gmail, Yahoo, and Outlook.com.
I stand corrected. That's good. A couple news articles here before while we wait for your calls. I saw this morning, and I'm not really surprised, and some of you probably aren't either. But more solar panels mean more waste, and there's no easy solution. So it's going to be a major problem by the year 2050. So this article talks about the fact that in November of 2016, the Environment Ministry of Japan warned that the country will produce 800,000 tons of solar waste by 2040, and it can't yet handle those volumes. That same year, the International Renewable Energy Agency estimated that there were already 250,000 metric tons of solar panel waste worldwide, and this number will grow to 78 million. 78 million metric tons by 2050. That's a lot of garbage produced by solar. Now, I know you have the green beret on your house there and you feel better about it, but they haven't figured out how to get rid of it.
What's solar waste?
Exactly. And the biggest problem is that usually panels are warranted for between 25 and 30 years, and some can last even longer. But as the solar industry has grown, the market has been flooded with what? Cheaply made Chinese garbage that can break down in as few as 5 years, according to Solar Power World. So I'll put a link up here for you. A lot of these panels also have dangerous, sometimes cancer-causing materials. Anything coming out of China seems to have this. Lead, chromium, cadmium. And so we're going to put a link up here for you to read this. But, you know, everyone's predicting all this stuff, but they don't seem to be able to predict where to put the garbage created by solar panels. That doesn't seem like a hard prediction to make, that you're going to have to take care of these things. And what's going to end up happening so far is that they're going to stick them in landfills. That literally is the solution they have right now, is to stick them in landfills.
I thought that was the whole reason we were going to solar in the first place, was to get rid of the landfills.
I know. I love the irony of this type of story, as you can probably imagine if you listen to me for a while. But I'll put the link up here for you, and you can read it. And I'm, you know, it's, it doesn't surprise me. But I mean, all these predictors you know, being green, you need to predict the whole cycle, guys. You can't just do the one side and not predict the whole cycle. The process of manufacturing, the process of shipping, the process of installing, oh yes, the process of disposal. It is all factored in. And maybe when you do the whole math on the whole job, you find out you may not even be green as you thought you were. You know, that's kind of an interesting concept. I'll put the link up here for you. I want to thank all you guys for joining us on this lovely Saturday morning. And stick around. Dr. Alessi's up next. Thank you, Matt, for producing. Mike G has posted everything over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. It's the name of the show.com. That also works. If you go to Facebook and you like Tab Computer Systems on Facebook, and if Mark Zuckerberg deems our news worthy, he might let it get into your news feed. And after you read all the Elon tweets and all the Trump tweets, if you want to read the Tab Computer Sys tweets, we're there as well at Tab Computer Sys on Twitter.
See you next week.